We're doing Megillat Esther. Vayhi bimei Achashverosh, who Achashverosh amulech mehodu v'ad Kush. So the Megillah identifies it to us which Achashverosh it is, because there were two Achashverosh. There was one who was Daryavish, the Mede, the first Daryavish, the one we learned about who took over the throne from Belshazzar. His father's name was Achashverosh, and he was also a king of Madai. So, but that one, he was only king on Paras and Madai. Okay. And Daryavish was the one that took over the Babylonian Empire. He was king of the world. Just a second. So over here it says, Hu Achashverosh, this is the Achashverosh who ruled over the world. Hu Achashverosh HaMolech Modu Vat Kush. It's not the first Achashverosh who was a Persian Mede king, the father of Daryavish. But rather it's the Achashverosh who ruled the world. Yeah.
Two questions. One, האם אפשר לקרוא את המגילה עם טעמי המצרה?
Okay.
שניים, כדי mention the few places where we read the מגילה, את טעמי של מגילת איך אני אמרה?
The tamim we'll do as we go along. You'll see which ones are the sad ones. The tamim you also want, Danny? I should read it with the tamim before I explain.
To be honest, on this I would prefer to just move forward. Otherwise, we're not going to finish the Megillah, and I think I can just follow along and read it as it is.
Okay, so I'll tell you what. But I'm anyways going to read the psukim, so I won't read the whole pasuk. But the parts that I read, I will do with the tamim. Okay, so that's a good compromise. I won't do like we do in Mishlei. I'll just read that part of the pasuk. Okay.
Oh, it's a different timing?
Yeah.
So I'm like, I can't, you know, there's a limit to how many timing you can write at once. I can't really
right. Seven. Sheva v'slumiyah medinah. So the Midrash tells us, what is this 127? He ruled over 100 on the land and 27 islands. That's the Sheva v'slumiyah medinah. Now what's Medina? Medina is capitals. It's a big city. It's the capital of a country. That's why Chazal discuss what Medina and Medina, the Gemara and Megillah, separates between Ir Ve'ir and Medina and Medina, because, okay, so Medina might be a big city. Sometimes that's walled in from days of Yeshua bin Nun. Okay.
Why does another Sheva Ve'esrim? How else can the Megillah say it if it wasn't 27 islands?
I don't know. Bayamim, ha'im kishevet ha'melech ha'chashverosh. Those days when Achashverosh sat on his throne, what was the throne? So the Medrash says that he had a throne that was just like Shlomo HaMelech. He couldn't ascend Shlomo's throne, but it took him 3 years that they made a throne. But finally they made one that was like it, and the only place they could make one that was like it was in Shushan. And because it was so big, the Targum describes, it was like this huge thing, it was about the size of this room. It was a huge throne. It had a platform on top where the 70 elders could sit.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was a huge throne. It had its whole stage with it.
Where do we learn that he had 70 elders?
Shlomo HaMelech?
Shlomo
HaMelech's throne had room for the 70 elders, and you never saw it. I mean, it had a whole bunch of birds and animals, and in Machon HaMikdash, I think they drew one like the Targum over here. There's a whole Medrash on it, and the Targum Sheni. There's a Targum over here on the Megillah, which describes it. If you take our class from last year or the year before, and we have a whole class on it. We spent a whole class describing the throne of Shlomo, I think one year on Hoshana Rabbah, one of the guys wanted to do it, so we learned that Medrash. It should be online somewhere. Do a search on the site, Shlomo Throne. You'll see we have a whole class on it, like 20 minutes, just describing the throne. Now, they couldn't carry it over to Babylon, which is where the previous kings had lived, so that's why he moved his capital, he moved it to Shushan, which is where he had the party.
Why can they only make it in Shushan?
I don't know. Al kisei malchuto asher b'shushan habira. That's that throne, which was specifically in Shushan. What's Bira? Bira is the powerful capital, the powerful city. And just like we have Zion and Yerushalayim. Bira is Elam was the city of the capital, and Shushan is the strength within the city. Sion is the strength within Yerushalayim, meaning kings made their capitals, and within the capital they had like extra fortification, like the castle, or the area which was the king's area, and that's the Bira. Shushan HaBira is Shushan, that's like the capital within the capital. Now, Mordechai was in Shushan, so the miracle is going to happen through Mordechai. So how does Hashem get Ahasuerus to come to Mordechai? Hashem makes it that the throne can't be built anywhere but in Shushan. I don't know why, but that's what the Gra says, that they could only build it in Shushan. And that's why the Megillah describes Mordechai as Ish Yehudi Hayab Shushan Abira. There was this Jew who was already in Shushan. So Hashem had to bring Ahasuerus to this Jew. Hashem had to bring Ahasuerus to Mordechai, so that the whole story of the Megillah would come to be. Yeah, I'm with you. Now, this also explains to us the idea that we learned in the Rif on Megillah, the halacha that says that you have to read the whole Megillah. Why do we have to read the beginning of the Megillah about Ahasuerus' party? Why is that so important? So the idea is that the story of the Megillah, in order to understand the full story, you have to read it from the beginning. Because the story, Esther purposely put the beginning of the story with this part, with the first psukim of how Ahasuerus got to Shushan, how did he get there? Because that's important, because that's how the story develops, because Mordechai is going to be there, and therefore Mordechai is going to have a pivotal role in the politics over there, because that's his hometown. So that the whole story of the Megillas Esther is the Hester Panim of how Hashem made this miracle. In order to understand the miracle, you have to begin from the beginning to understand how Ahasuerus got there. This is in contradistinction with the miracle that happened in Mitzrayim. You could notice the difference between this and Mitzrayim, that in Mitzrayim, the pasuk specifically says it was Yad Chazaka, a powerful arm, a powerful hand, an outstretched arm, and that the miracles were revealed. It was Nes Gadol Galui Yitziat Mitzrayim. And that's why every day and every Yom Tiv and every Shabbos we mention Yitzias Mitzrayim, and we don't mention Esther, we don't mention this miracle, even though over here also the Jews were on the verge of annihilation. It was also a danger to all of humanity and all of Judaism. In Mitzrayim, they didn't want to kill us. They were making us work, but they weren't trying to kill out the Jews. So here, theoretically, we might say that this is a bigger miracle, but here it was all hidden. That's the Gemara which we were about to learn tonight. Vayet aleinu chased lifnei malchei paras. Hashem did kindness with us before the kings of Persia. When? In the times of Haman. Chazal tell us, in a minute we'll explain. Chazal tell us that when Hashem said in the Torah, "Vanochi haster astir panai vayom ahu," Hashem forewarned us. If the Jews don't keep the Torah, Hashem says, "I'll hide my face." Chazal say that's an allusion to Esther. What are Chazal telling us there? Why do Chazal ask, where does Esther appear in the Torah? We have other, why doesn't the Gemara ask, where does Daniel appear in the Torah? We have other tzaddikim who had miracles. So miracles in Eretz Yisrael, that's normal. That's part of life. That's the way Hashem created us. That here Hashem keeps His eye on us. And that's why Chanukah is a miracle. It's great, but it's not like Purim. Even though Chanukah was also a great miracle. We had a great military victory. We had a great philosophical victory. Chanukah is amazing. But it was in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, and it was in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara comes and questions, where is there an allusion to Esther in the Torah? The Gemara is questioning, where is there an allusion that even in the Estel Panim, even in the time that we're in Galut, even when we're not in Eretz Yisrael, Hashem will make miracles, and great miracles like this. And that's the Gemara's answer. V'anochi aster aster panim, the pasuk that describes Hashem's hiding His face from us, already alludes to the time of Esther. Haster astir, Chazal said, is an allusion to Esther. And that's what the Gemara says. A person came, a Talmud of Yeshua Notri, came to Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah. Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah, they always tried debating with him. He was a big expert in psukim. So he came to him and he said, if you have a nation that their master turned his face from them, it was a debate in mind that the guy came to Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah and he turned his back to him. So Rabbi Yeshua ben the debate happened in pantomime. So the min comes and he faces off with Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah and he turns his back to him. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah extends his hands to him. So the Gemara explains, what was he saying? He said, God turns his back on the Jewish people. He's not interested in the Jewish people. Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah said, Od yadon tuya, his hand is still extended over us. He's still watching over us. Why? Aster, astir. Hashem says, when I hide my face, I'm still with you. That's Esther. That's the concept of this Megillah. This Megillah is really the foundation of our belief. When other religions say, oh, God forsake you. Look, 2,000 years, God forsake you. We say no. Megillah's Esther is the answer. No. What are we celebrating in Esther? We're celebrating the fact that Hashem says, even when you're out there, even when you're in exile, even when you're suffering, and I put you there and I'm punishing you, and you deserve it. That's why I'm doing it. I'm still with you. And in that respect, Purim was a bigger miracle, but it was a miracle b'ester panim. Chazal say, Mashal lema davar domeh. There was a king who had a single son. And the officers were jealous. They saw that the king loved that son more than anyone else. It happened that the son did something wrong. So the father banished him. He punished him. He sent him out to the forest. The son thought that his father forgot him. The father didn't forget the son. He was scared maybe the kid would be hurt by wild animals in the field. Or maybe his advisors who really hated the kid, they were jealous of him, they would hurt him. What did he do? He sent his servants into the field, into the forest, and he told them, don't let my son see you. I'm scared. He has to learn his lesson. You guys stay far away from him. Keep an eye on him. Don't let anything bad happen to him. A bear came, and he's about to be killed by the bear, and suddenly a servant, one of his father's servants, shows up, kills the bear. The servant then rides away, rides off into the sunset. So the kid thinks, wow, what a good coincidence, I was saved. Then one of the king's advisors came, he wanted to kill the kid, he figures no one's looking. One of the servants suddenly shows up, kills the advisor. Again, the son sees this, says, what's going on here? Then he understood. He says, can't be so many coincidences, one after another. He understood, why did my father do this? My father wants to teach me a lesson. But really, he loves me. He's still watching over me. And in that moment, the son did tshuva. That moment, the son said, now I know. My father doesn't hate me. He's teaching me a lesson. I have to change my ways. So too, Hashem sent us out to Golis. Hashem was worried. Maybe the bears will come and attack us. So Hashem sent his servants, the Talmidei Chachamim, be it Mordechai, be it Daniel, that through them we had miracles. But it's all be'estel panim. Hashem says, I don't want them to see. They have to learn their lesson. There's a reason they're in the galut. So Mordechai and Esther, when they saw the miracle, and the Jewish people of the time saw the miracle of Purim, it's like the boy who sees, my father is still with me. And that's why we say, at the time of Mordechai and Esther, Am Yisrael again accepted the Torah. But this time it was without kafale mal kegigit. It was out of love. Based on this, we can understand that...
Without
the threat of the mountain looming over them. They did it out of love, because then they understood the love Hashem had for them. Okay.
בשנת שלוש למולכו עשה משתה לכל צריו ועבדם.
It took 3 years into his kingdom that they were able to build this throne, and then he was able to sit on it, so he made a party for his servants. What is a sar? Sar is a governor, one who's in charge of cities, and he's responsible for justice there. Avadav are the servants who are there. They're by the king all the time. whoever wants to come to the king has to go through them. So that's why the Gemara asks that at one point there was one of the Talmidei Chachamim, he had a child who was ill, and he prayed and the child wouldn't heal. He went to Rabbi Hanina. Rabbi Hanina put his head between his knees, started davening, the child was cured. His wife asked him, is Hanina bigger than you? So he said, no. But he's like an Eved before the king, and I'm like a Sar before the king. What's the difference between Eved and Sar? The Eved is not on a higher level than the Sar. He's not a governor, but he's there all the time. So what was he answering her? He's like a Sar. He rules over the Torah, but
he's like an Eved.
What?
He's like an Eved.
He said, Rabbi Hanina is like an Eved. Rabbi Hanina is like an Eved, that he's always davening, he's like the Hasidim Rishonim, he's focused in his tefillah. So she asked him, is Hanina bigger than you in Torah? Is he a bigger rabbi than you? He answered her, no. I'm the Sar. In Halacha, he knows that I'm bigger. But that's not the issue here. Here was a question of prayer. In prayer, he's a bigger Chassid than me. He's not a bigger Tamid Chacham than me. That's why he said, I'm the Sar, but he's the Eved. He's closer. חיל פרס ומדי, הפרטמים, מסרי המדינות לפניו. חיל פרס ומדי are the different dukes that come from the family of aristocracy. That's חיל פרס ומדי, the dukes who were from aristocratic family of Persia and Mede. And he also made the party for all of their armies. What? The armies that are closer to him. Remember, he had many armies. He was king over all inhabited territory. Now, they have a good relationship because they're first in line. They're those who are supposed to be more loyal to him. And he needs them. He needs their armies. Now, the other nations, he didn't need to make them and all their armies. That's why the rest of them were Sareh Medinot. The leaders of the countries, the officers, the governors, them he brought in. But the Chayil Paras Umadai, the armies of Persia and Mede, them he has a closer relationship with. He's the Persian Mede Empire. Their empire. What?
What does Chazal say about this?
Chazal say that he was putting them down. He put everyone together. One opinion is that he was putting them down. He was telling everyone, you guys sit with the army. Imagine you take the chief of staff and you put him for a meal together with the newest soldier. You put them all at the same mess hall, you let them all eat together, you're telling them all you're all nothing.
Yet the officers of Hodu and Kush, Mehodu and Kush, puts me paras umadai, he said.
I didn't follow what you're saying.
The Chel paras umadai, he put with the armies, right?
The Chel paras umadai, the army of paras umadai, he put together with Sarei Medinot.
With all of the Medinot or just their own?
All of them, all of the Medinot. So Chazal say he was putting everyone down. One, another understanding is that this caused them all to lose respect for him. What are you putting us all at the same dining hall?
What's with that he should have appeased the people of Shushan first or not?
Oh, so that's a Gemara. We'll get to that.
I didn't know if it's in this possible.
That's Ubimlota Yamima Ile, Sam Melech. That's in two psukim. One psuk, two psukim.